Welcome to the My Mickey podcast, where we explore the magic and wonder of Disney together. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the My Mickey podcast with Bridget, Nicole, and Renee. Today, we are excited to have a special guest with us, one of the owners of My Mickey Vacation Travel, Jeff Stoner. We asked Jeff to join us and to discuss his most recent experience on Royal Caribbean's newest ship, Icon of the Seas. Welcome, Jeff.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, so Jeff. Happy you're here. Excited to have you. Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff, I'm so excited you're here because this has been the most Instagrammable thing I think I've seen on this ship. And I'm overly jealous that you've been on it now twice.
Well, I have to say, it not only is it Instagrammable, I actually opened my Instagram account, which I never use,
what?
Just to put pictures up. So that's how Instagrammable it is. So I was fortunate enough to get on a three-night preview with the travel trade community. And that was actually the sailing where the ship was christened. And Messi, you know, the soccer player guy, the famous,
yeah.
Apparently he's good looking. I don't know. He was on this ship doing the christening. And so I got to see him. And who's the guy who played Slater in Saved by the Bell?
Mario Lopez.
Yeah, he was on there as well. So, I got to see him from a distance. So that was really cool. Got to hang out. That was kind of a work trip, man. We toured, I think, 25 different staterooms, and wow. We were doing a lot of walking around, taking a lot of pictures and video. And then we took a week off, and then actually we went back. Karen and I went back for a week's vacation. Still did a lot of work on there. Picked up a lot more pictures and video. Beautiful ship, lot to talk about, and ready to share all the goodies with you.
Can you give us a quick overview of the ship? I've heard that it's separated into neighborhoods. Can you tell us a little bit about what a guest might experience when they get on board?
Sure. So, yeah, and Royal Caribbean does this on a lot of their ships. They section off the ship in what they, like you said, what they call neighborhoods. So they're little areas. And so when you first walk on the ship, it's very consistent with all the other Royal Caribbean ships. If you've ever been on one, you walk off the gangplank and through the, the little walkway outside and straight mm-hmm. into what's called the promenade. And this is an area that it's kind of like the center hub of the ship, if you will. If you think Disney Cruise Line, you have that big atrium area. This is kind mm-hmm. of the same thing, except it's long. Feels, depending on which ship you're in, it kind of feels like a cross between maybe a shopping mall, a city street, or something out of Vegas. So it depends on the ship. But but on this ship, on the Icon, what they did was they opened it up. It's very wide. It has a couple restaurants, a couple clubs. It actually has windows. But this thing that's really gorgeous on the Icon is this thing called the Pearl. And this Pearl is this huge white, kind of just looks like this monstrous golf ball right in the middle of the promenade. It's got stairs leading up in the middle. It's got about 1,000 adjustable mirrors that move around. And it serves zero purpose other than just serving as a background for Instagram.
Looks cool.
But yeah. It looks cool. It's really, it's definitely this iconic symbol of the ship. So a lot of people loved it. A lot of people stood in line to get pictures in front of it, but it's really neat. So the promenade is definitely one area. It's got, we'll talk a little bit about entertainment later, but it has like mm-hmm. four or five nightclubs. There's a couple shopping venues, a couple eateries, Sorrento's Pizza, which is a staple in Royal Caribbean, is there. But it's just, like I said, it's just kind of there's a Starbucks for friends who like
that.
Yes.
You're speaking our love language now.
So there's definitely a lot to do in that promenade. So a couple of the other areas which are really kind of neat too. So one of my favorites is Chill Island. And so Chill Island is that area on the ship that you all think about whenever you think about all the lounge chairs being out there, all the pools, the whirlpools, mm-hmm. that kind of area. It takes up three decks on the Icon, which is really nice. They have a bay pool, which is huge. It's got several different, what I like about it, it's got several different levels. So there's like one level that's only like a foot deep. And then there's another level that's like maybe 4 feet deep. So you can, you know, the little kids can play in there, but you know, if you wanted to actually kind of hang out and, you know, maybe chest deep or up to your neck, you can do that as well. There's a swim up bar on this ship, which is really kind of neat. That's called Swim and Tonic. So that was really nice. And then Cloud 17 is this really quiet area. It's got like an infinity pool in it. It was originally supposed to be the adults only section of the ship, but they, right before they went to the revenue sailings, they switched it. It's now a family pool, but it's really kind of quiet. There's a little bar right next door. So Chill Island is great. Chill Island is your pool area. So that's really fun. Now, if you're a thrill seeker, so Nicole, I know you guys just came off of a Disney ship and I saw your kiddo was like on the aqueduct like 1,000 times or something. Your kid would love Thrill Island. So Thrill Island, it's basically built as a water park and adventure zone. So first of all, they have Category 6. So Category 6 has these awesome water slides. So think of a ground-based water park, that's what's on this ship. It's got 6 water slides. They've got 2 slides on there that are actually racers, and they have light-up stuff inside, really kind of cool, really fast. They've got the funnels and all the stuff. It's just one of the most amazing things I've ever seen on a ship. They've got Crown's Edge, which is this, and you'll never catch me on it, but it's this kind of a daredevil thing where you get suited up, you get strapped in, safety is of prime concern. So you're very safe, but it's this thing where you actually walk on this plank out over, and you have to like step over like space. Like it's not just, you're not like walking on a board, but you have to step over space and you're out over the water up on like deck 16. So you're like 150 feet over the water. And then when you get to the end of the plank, you're just standing there. The plank gives out from underneath you. And then all of a sudden you're zip lining the rest of the way in out over the water. So that's a thing.
I just watched this last night knowing we were going to be talking about the ship today. And I was like, why has Jeff not shared that video of him or Karen doing that yet?
There's a reason. But it is really cool. It's fun to watch, obviously. Wow. It does. That's one of the few things on the ship that does cost a little extra money to do. So, I don't even know what it was. I think there was talk that it was going to be anywhere between $30 and $90. So I have no idea.
So you pay money to be terrified.
Exactly.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Have at it. Have at it, all you thrill seekers. So they have all of that. They've got, the Flow Rider is back. So the surfing at sea is back on this ship. They have one of those. Rock climbing. They've got this beautiful basketball court with pickleball court set up. They have a putt-putt course. Everybody knows that Royal Caribbean is famous for their putt-putt courses. This is probably the best one I've ever seen on a Royal Caribbean ship. Really nice. So Thrill Island, great neighborhood. Hideaway. The Hideaway is the adults only section. This area is stunning. So there's an infinity pool. It's located in the aft of the ship. So you're sitting in the infinity pool just watching the wake go behind you. It is gorgeous. It's got, like I said, it's got these loungers. It's got some Bali beds. It has a dedicated bar out there, whirlpools. It's just a really cool place to hang out as an adult. So one of my favorite sections on this pool, one of my new neighborhoods, is called Surfside. So if you're familiar with the Oasis class ships on Royal Caribbean, this is where the boardwalk normally is. And so what they've done is they've taken this and they've created it as a family section. They've done some really neat things in this area. So first of all, if you've ever seen a Royal Caribbean Oasis classes, they have that carousel. They kept the carousel. So you can go and ride the carousel all day long, no extra charge, just hop on and have a great time on the carousel. Now, what's really neat here is in the back, they have a splash area for kids. It's called Splash Away Bay. And on either side of it, they have what's called Baby Bay. So the little ones can go in there. It's like literally the water's like 3 inches deep. So the little kids are in there just splashing around. So that's really cool. And so the Baby Bay on either side and the Splash Away Bay, which is really kind of a toddler thing. But, you know, I saw kids in there probably up to maybe 5-6 years old playing around. But it's got little mini slides and little dump buckets and all that kind of fun stuff. With lifeguards, I will say. I saw at least 3 lifeguards in that area. So that was really cool to see. But all of that is surrounded by this beautiful infinity pool that, again, is, you know, maybe 6 inches deep in some sections, but does have this 3-foot section. The parents can sit in the pool and relax and sit there and watch their kids have fun and play.
That's so nice.
So that's really nice. And on the other side of the on the other side of the play area, they have all these loungers. So if you just want to sit on a lounger in the sun, watch your kids play, have at it. So that was really cool. Now on the other side, if you want to do this as well, there's all there's actually a bar sitting there. So you can sit at the bar and watch your kids play in there too.
And it's perfect.
Yeah, it's really, really ideal setup for families. The other thing that they set up in this neighborhood for families, which is really amazing, and again, I'll talk a little bit about restaurants later, but they set up a buffet restaurant in this area. So you can go in there. They've got, you know, pizzas. They had pasta. They had salads, little hot dog wraps, all, you know, just creative foods. They had a Sunday bar, all your drinks, everything. So what's nice here is that you can take your family there. You can play. You don't have to wrap everybody up, dry them off, change clothes just to go up to Windjammer or to the buffet to get food. Mm-hmm. It's all right there. And not only that, but right beside that, they have a snack bar. So you can get your hot dogs and chicken fingers and French fries and burgers and whatever you want right there as well. All of that's included. There's no additional price for that. So that's really cool. And the ice cream. Oh, they have ice cream machines there too. Really good. Yeah.
I like that Royal Caribbean thought out the family experience, because I know a lot of our listeners have kids. You know, we talk a lot about Disney. We talk a lot about Universal. And so I think they're thinking on the family side of things. And it feels like Royal Caribbean thought that out really well for families with young kids.
They really did. And the other thing that's really nice too is they have a nice... they have a nice kids club there as well called Adventure Ocean. That is also located in that area. And so the other thing too, the rooms that overlook Surfside are actually for the most part, there's like three levels. They're family suites. So these are family suites that can sleep up to four people. The kids have their own little room. Even the kids' room overlooks the balcony or overlooks the neighborhood. So great opportunity for families to have a really good time. Let's see here. So I hit Chill Island, Thrill Island, Hideaway, Surfside, Promenade, Central Park. Central Park. If you're not familiar with what Central Park is, this was on deck 8 on the icon, but between the aft elevators and the forward elevators, it's this outdoor area with rooms on either side, about four. Well, like I said, this is on deck 8. So it's an open area leading up to about deck 15. It looks like you're in Central Park. You're walking through Central Park. It has live trees, vegetation. It's a windy cobblestone road. At night, they have jazz musicians playing there. During the day, they pipe in the sounds of birds chirping. And at night, they pipe in the sounds of crickets. And it is just lovely. There's a park cafe. You can just sit and chill. They have one of the new things on the icon is they have Bubbles, which is a champagne bar. It's a walk-up champagne bar, so you can get your glass of champagne, sit on a park bench, and just listen to the music. It is just a lovely area. It's our favorite. And then the big thing this year on this icon, which is brand new, I've saved this one for last, it's the Aquadome. So on the Oasis class, on some of these ships, you've seen the big aqua theater on the back of the ship. So this is on this ship, it's all enclosed indoors. So there's no weather elements to worry about. It is this incredibly huge monstrous dome area. It has a restaurant. It's got a marketplace restaurant. It's like a little quick service thing. It's got shopping, and then it's got this aqua theater with the amphitheater type seating. And then even behind the theater, they have these windows that are just floor to ceiling, probably five decks high. And you can just stare out at the ocean. It's just lovely. And it's all this seating, and there's a coffee bar, and you can sit there and bring your computer if you want to work or just kick back and read a book, but it's all indoors. It's lit. It's just the sunlight coming in. It is just stunning and gorgeous. So it was one of our favorite areas. We hung out there a lot. So again, you can see, you know, the shows, you know, during the day or at night, whenever they have them. But for the most part, it's just a lounging area with nice restaurants. So those are your neighborhoods. There's a lot to see. There's a lot to do. But one of the things, you know, people talk about the ship being just so massive and so huge. Yeah. And what we found on a 7-night sailing was the further we went into the sailing, the smaller the ship felt. It just didn't feel as big later. You know, when you first get on, it's just so massive, you know, for the first day or two. But yeah, the more we explored and more we understood the ship, it didn't feel overwhelming at all. Mm-hmm. So that was nice.
Now, Jeff, one of the things I was most intrigued about is Royal has something new on this ship that they've never had before. And it's a little four-legged furry friend.
So Rover is the chief dog officer on the ship. Rover is stunning. Rover is this golden retriever. He's still a puppy and he lives on the ship.
Oh my goodness.
And I'll tell you what you think when he comes out. Well, it's actually a she. When she comes out and visits the people on the ship, you'd think people had never seen a dog before in their life. Everyone just gloms around Rover. And very well trained, you know, she's working, the handler who's on the ship with her is working really hard with her, but she'll sit and pose for pictures. And so Karen, it was funny because Karen had her her little clutch Dooney bag with her. And so she leaned down to try and get a picture, and Rover decided it was time to play with the clutch. And so she just grabbed a hold of it, wouldn't let go, started doing all this, whipping her head around stuff. It was great. Yeah. So that was our Rover moment. So yeah, Rover
is
amazing.
Everybody boarded their dogs and they missed their dogs. So now they're like, oh, dog on the ship.
So everybody made a fuss over Rover. But it was, again, just a nice touch. You know, it's a nice new touch on that ship. Yeah.
I have to say, Jeff, when you were posting everything, what caught my eye was from the entertainment aspect, the Wizard of Oz show. It looked absolutely amazing. And that is my favorite movie in the world. And so I think to see it come to life, even in the snippets that you posted, it just seemed fabulous.
So I wish I could have posted some of the live video of it. We were given the opportunity to see a preview and we were allowed to take some stills. Unbelievable. First of all, it's the first time I've ever seen a live orchestra on the ship. String section, horns, the whole thing. And I want to say it's a 16-piece live orchestra. And so that was absolutely unbelievable. The cast, I think, is like 30 people strong. You don't see that many people in a cast on a cruise ship. The special effects, they had the pulley system. And so whenever the tornado come, the witch is on the broom, Dorothy's on her bed. They're literally flying over the audience. It was unreal. It's probably one of the best theatrical. It's definitely one of the best theatrical things I've ever seen on a ship. It definitely rivals Beauty and the Beast on the Disney Dream. Wow. And I would say even given the fact that they have the limitations of a cruise ship, I've seen a lot of shows on Broadway, and I would say it rivals shows I've seen on Broadway. It's just really, really well done.
I also love that they do the ice skating.
So they have a new ice skating venue on this ship. It's called Absolute Zero. And so the difference about this ice skating rink than the other ones you'll see on Royal Caribbean, this one's round where the other ones were square. And so they can use more of the ice. They can gain more speed. The jumps are better and bigger. And so the shows are really phenomenal. They actually have two different shows on this ship. They have one, I forget the full name of it, but it's themed around the elements and like chemical elements. They'll have gold and diamonds and silver and things like that. So it was a really good show. They had this guy who, like, he was juggling lit drones. It was amazing to see. And then they had another show that they ran during the days. It was all based on fairy tales. So it was Humpty Dumpty and Pinocchio and, you know, some of your favorite fairy tale characters. So that was really cool for the kids. But full cast, full jumps, you know, all the things. So, yeah, they brought back the ice skating on this ship in a much bigger and better way. And I mentioned the Aqua Dome earlier. So they have the Aqua shows, but one of the things that they're incorporating this year is they've got these robots on this platform. And so the robots can do anything from presenting different lighting. We actually saw them doing some testing because they're still working through these shows where a diver will get on the robot and the robot will spring them off as part of their dive process. And so, you know, they're using robots with new technology. They did a sequence where two aerialists were doing a romantic dance in the air when they're both on these different pulley systems, and how they had eight wires running from the ceiling and never got twisted up. I have no idea. But this entertainment is just incredibly elevated on this ship. It's just unbelievable. Comedy club, they have that. Musicians, like crazy. They got a new dueling piano bar on this ship, which is insane. They've got Lou's Jazz and Blues Club. So they got a jazz club, upright bass, you know, piano player, sax player, mm-hmm. all of that. So, I mean, it's just such a wide variety of entertainment that you and your family can enjoy. And that's the other thing I wanted to mention. For the most part, almost all the entertainment is family friendly. So even like the dueling pianos, the kids were there and they would engage the kids in the show. So that was always fun too.
Moving on and talking about something I know all four of us enjoy immensely is dining. So let's jump into food. What was your experience like on the ship with the food? I know that there's a lot of things that are included in your purchase price, but there's a few additional things that you can pay for out of pocket as well.
Sure. So Royal Caribbean has always been kind of known as that ship that has the free dining plus a few specialty restaurants. And so the free dining is usually the main dining hall. And then they have Windjammers, which is like the big buffet. And then they have a couple little places where you can get, you know, pick up a sandwich here or there. Sorrento's is the pizza place. One of the things that I liked a lot about the Icon is they've elevated the free experiences. So you still have Sorrento's, you still have Windjammers, which, by the way, Windjammers is huge, and the quality I think has really elevated from other Royal Caribbean ships. And so I was really happy about Windjammers. But they've added, like I said, the Surfside Eatery for the kids and the families, Surfside Snacks right outside. Park Cafe is located in Central Park. That's a staple, but they've elevated this one to they have breakfast, lunch, and dinner on there. So again, walk in, grab a sandwich, grab a crepe or whatever they're making, and that's all free as well. The Aquadome Market was amazing. So it's if you think almost it's almost set up like food trucks. And so you've got this place that makes fresh crepes where you stand there and just literally watch them make it in front of you. They have a mac and cheese station where they had like four or five different types of mac and cheese. If you like Mediterranean food, they had a station for that. Incredible. El Loco Fresh is on a lot of the cruise ships. They have that. That's your Mexican food. Very big eatery on this ship. They've enlarged that as well. Base camp is located up on Thrill Island area. So again, your chicken nuggets, burgers, fries, all that kind of stuff. Plus this is kind of a hybrid. Most of all of that type of food is free, but then they have some elevated options that you can pay extra for. So again, Pearl Cafe. So that big Pearl we talked about when we first opened the episode here, when you walk up through the Pearl in the middle of the promenade, when you get to the top, there's a big wide open seating area up there. Again, just a place for, you know, plugging in your laptop if you want to, or reading a book. But they have this massive cafe up there with like sandwiches and wraps. If you like, they had a like a buffalo chicken breast sandwich. It's free. Pick it up. All kinds of desserts, coffees, drinks, whatever you want, all included. So that was really nice. The now, as far as the options to purchase, like the signature experiences, a couple new ones. So several of the other elevated ships have a restaurant called Hooked. It's a seafood restaurant that is on this ship as well. It's actually located in the Aquadome. They've got a new feature called the Deserted Milkshake Bar. And it does like these incredible crafted milkshakes. They were stunning. We actually ran out of time, didn't get there. They have an Empire Supper Club, which is, if you think of Victoria and Albert's at Disney World, it's that on this ship. Azumi, Japanese, they have Azumi. They have an Azumi window where you can go buy it's like a walk-up, but you can get like sushi. Things like that. Playmakers is a sports bar, so they have some comfort food there you can buy. But yeah, just a lot of neat options for both. A lot of free food. Like you can go on that ship and spend all 7 days and not pay for a meal if you wanted to. But if you want those elevated experiences, they are available and they're really, really good. We did do on our 7-night sailing, we did do the deluxe dining plan, which we really didn't need to. We did it not knowing going in. I probably won't do it the next time. But we ate at Chops twice. We ate at Sorrento's twice, you know, or not Sorrento's, the Italian restaurant. We ate there twice. We did a Zumi once. So a couple of the things we ended up duplicating that we probably didn't need to, but yeah. But the ship is absolutely stunning. The casino, the casino did not beat me. And so that's always a good thing.
You came out ahead. Now you can go back on again.
Well, I came out ahead enough that I could probably tip the porters or, you know, something like that. But I'm not going to get a free cruise anytime soon.
Well, for anyone who was thinking about jumping on the Icon, where is it sailing and what do the itineraries look like?
So it's currently sailing out of Miami. And so Royal Caribbean has a beautiful port, cruise port down there. And so it sails out of Miami. It does right now. It's doing both Western and Eastern Caribbean sailings. And it does make a stop at Perfect Day at Coco Cay, which is Royal Caribbean's private island, which is a destination in and of itself. It has lots of beach space. It's got a private club that you can go to and get lobster and fillets and all that kind of fun stuff. It's got a lot of beach space, a lot of activities, jet skiing, the whole thing. They did just open a brand new adults area called Hideaway on Perfect Day at Coco Cay. So that's a big, it's not quiet. It's a party area, but it's got its own pool. It's got its own beach area, lots of food, but it's a fun adults only area out there. So that's brand new, but yeah. Also all the itineraries pretty much make a stop there, but right now they're doing both the Eastern and the Western. So we did the Western Caribbean. So we stopped at Cozumel and Perfect Day. And so that was our itinerary. We didn't get off. We stayed on the ship. We wanted to explore. We wanted to just kind of relax. But definitely some really nice ports of calls on the Icon itineraries.
And then I'm just curious. I know you had mentioned the ship felt smaller the further into the sailing you were. Did it feel crowded at all? Or was there enough room with enough people or people waiting in line forever to do those slides at the Thrill Park?
I will say I never saw a line for the slides at Thrill Park. So that was really nice to see. The ship actually holds 7,000 people plus 2,000 crew. On our sailings, they were at about 5,700 because they're still kind of scaling up. At 5,700 people, I felt like they could get to 7,000 and it would not be an issue. We rarely had to wait in line for anything, including getting into the theaters or to see shows or anything like that. Now, some of the shows they did take reservations, but still people get there early because they want the best seats. We never felt pushed. We never felt like it was crowded. Even when they did like communal events, like they did evening like balloon drops and, you know, sail away parties and things like that, it never felt just overly crowded. It was very comfortable. And I think they have, like I said, I think they have a long way to go in capacity before it would feel that way. You know, adding another 1,200 people, maybe, but I just felt like they could probably double what we were experiencing and still be okay.
And we have the Star coming to Port Canaveral for 3- and 4-night cruises as well, right?
Right. It's going to be an Icon class ship. We don't know much about the Star and if or any changes they're going to make to the Icon to bring it in. But yeah, it's going to move north. It's going to sail out of Port Canaveral, 3- and 4-night sailing. So it's going to be kind of neat to have an Icon class ship at that sailing. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, as big as the ship is, as much as there is to explore, I would not personally want to do a 3- or 4-night sailing as my first sailing on that ship. Just to be real, if I'm going to do it out of Port Canaveral, I'd probably do it back to back, make it a 7-nighter. I think those 3- and 4-nighters are going to fit really well for folks who maybe sail often, or just want to experience maybe a certain side of that ship. So maybe, you know, you're bringing the kids and, you know, the small kids, and you're just going to kind of hang out in Surfside neighborhood, and that's really kind of be your jam for the vacation. That would work really well for somebody like that. But somebody like me who likes to explore every square inch of that ship, that would be a challenge in 3 or 4 nights.
Now we do talk a lot about Disney and Disney cruises, and you mentioned families. Compare wise, do you feel like this is something that a Disney cruise family could easily hop on and still have enough entertainment and things like that for everybody of all ages?
So I will say this. I love desserts. I think we all like desserts, don't we, ladies?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I can have a cheesecake or a banana split, right? They are both delicious. They're both desserts, but they are two completely different kinds of desserts, right? That's mm-hmm. the way I think you have to look at comparing a Royal Caribbean and Disney. So yes, a family can get on Royal Caribbean, have a good time, be completely entertained, not feel bored. There's a lot to do. I mean, you want to go rock climbing, go rock climbing. You want to hang out in the pool, hang out in the pool. You want to do water slides, do water slides. There are some things that, I mean, I hate to say this. There's some things that Royal Caribbean does better. There's some things that Disney does a lot better. And so you're just going to have different experiences. I would never say one's better than the other. They're just way different experiences. I think that Disney experience, I think you have that luxury feel. It's a little more elevated. I think those dining experiences for kids, mm-hmm. I think are going to be, probably a lot different and better than maybe Royal Caribbean's are. Disney certainly has the intellectual property with Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, Goofy, all the characters running around. That's obviously a plus. I think the kids clubs at Disney do outdo it. But then I think, you got, like I said, you got the super water slides, the multiple water slides. You've got, like I said, things like rock climbing and escape rooms and things like that, that just aren't on the Disney ship. More entertainment, in terms of like those musicians hanging around, the different types of venues that you can go to. So it's, like I said, it's just, it's two completely different kinds of desserts and both wonderfully delicious.
Well, that definitely answers that question because I know inquiring minds were going to want to know. So I appreciate your candidness on that as well.
Yeah, sure.
But thank you everyone for taking the time to tune in today to the My Mickey podcast and learn a little bit more about another destination that you can add to your travel wish list. We do hope that you enjoyed learning all about the Icon of the Seas. And if you're considering a cruise vacation, the dream designers at My Mickey Vacation Travel are always here to help. Our team of experts will help make sure your trip is filled with unforgettable memories, and you can learn more at mymickeyvacation.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see y'all real soon.